We are back like a Menno Villains free kick. Incredibly powerful, wildly inaccurate, and most likely outcome is we're going to damage the pontoon. We are coming back from live from Woking. I'm here, I'm Alex.
And I'm Henry.
And we have somehow increased the sound quality by actually sorting it out and working out what was wrong.
Alex learnt how to use a computer. So,
okay, so
you might actually be able to hear both of us properly now.
We had the gear, but no idea.
Yeah.
So it was all set up.
We still don't have much of an idea, let's be honest.
Audition, for some reason, was still overriding it and using the laptop, which is why I sounded so close and you sounded...
like I was...
in Boreham Wood.
I was back in Reading just like shouting at you.
You're on platform 3, which we can see from here. As a result, you might well hear the 1247 from Waterloo speed past at some point.
12:40. Like, it's a bit
just,
late.
Actually,
it?
Hang on. There you go.
But that's going to pool late night service.
But yeah, there you are. So I hope it's going to be a bit easier for you to listen to. Coming up, we're going to talk about many a thing, actually. So we haven't recorded since we played Guiseley.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and since then?
Just after the Guiseley game, wasn't it?
We're going to Wembley.
Yeah, so I actually...
Brilliant.
As luck would have it, I had a week off at home... starting around the Bognor game, so I've been to all three. So we had the most flattest set.
Oh, that's a Radio Humberside wet dream, that, isn't it?
What's that?
Phil Brown and Nigel Adkins all on the same row.
Fucking hell. Jesus. God, they'd be interviewing for 2 hours, wouldn't they? None of this off the air at 10 o'clock crap that we get used to these days.
We're watching shit. We tend to watch some football to get us in the mood. The Southend and Sheffield United is the only thing that's available, apart from the Copa Libertadores, and I'm not still playing for Premier Sport.
No. I didn't even know that channel still existed, to be honest with you.
It does. It does the ice hockey now. It
does the ice hockey.
Basically,
no one cares.
I'll tell you what we should talk about, though, with Radio Humberside. Mike White.
Yes.
I had an absolute bitching about it, which is fire enough.
No, I wanted to bring this up. Because I think Mike White's been doing a really good job as the presenter.
Well, he's certainly better than...
He's better than Simon Clark.
Yeah.
But he was the guy that I wanted to take over from Matt Dean anyway.
It's just because he's your fellow NFL lover.
Yeah, I know. He didn't give me free tickets when he did the interview, though.
Who does he support NFL-wise?
San Francisco 49ers, I think.
They don't play in San Francisco, though, do they?
Santa Clara.
Right, fine.
It's like an hour from San Francisco, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like we're called Leeds Rhinos or something.
Yeah, something like that. But that is the magic world of NFL franchise systems.
So when on Friday we played Wrexham, we were on our own.
Saturday.
We had no one else on in competition, and so we were the entire broadcasting. Yeah?
Yeah, it's quality. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it's fine. Nothing wrong with JT and Buckley. He's brilliant. So there we go.
Yeah, but like the preview was of better quality.
But the big question he had was simply down that no one was phoning in.
No. And he knew it. He knew it'd be the case because no one phones into Humberside anymore. They haven't done for a couple of years, have they?
We've got Twitter now.
Yeah, exactly. And that, I do think that's played a role, actually. Plus, the standard of the calls into Humberside in general are just awful.
It tends to be my dad.
So no one bothers. And so he got that Matt Tees interview out, which I've not heard. I can't remember hearing before. He said it was recorded in 2008. Well, I mean, it was a quality interview, to be fair, and it was well worth listening to. And then they played the Jevons stuff again.
The biggest bitch is, I'm one of the first people to complain about the broadcasting standards of Radio Humberside when it comes to town. But if they give us the opportunity to talk about it, we should get in there and
I know.
And put our two penneth forward.
And I think I read a tweet directed at Mike White which said something along the lines of, oh, why are you digging out old interviews again? What a waste of time. But it's like, well, how else is... No one's ringing in, so like, what's the point?
They can't do what the old BBC did, was just fake it.
No. So I thought the coverage was... especially on Saturday when we were the only team there, I thought it was pretty good and bloody good for a Division 5 football team.
It was still a pretty impressive game. Do we want to go much over Bognor? Bognor fans deserve a lot of credit. They were brilliant.
Yeah,
they were
Bognor
fantastic.
Fans were brilliant. I mean, 2,500 total gate. It was a bit flat in the home end, to say the least. And probably one of the more underwhelming victories ever.
It's going to be...
But we got the job done and... we have the potential, assuming that we get the job done in the league, to have a great day out sort of as our last non-league game. But if it's not our last non-league game, then I think it'll be bloody shite. And
it really will, but I'll be there.
Yeah, I probably will be, admittedly, to myself. I like to think that I'd consider not going, but because I live so near, I feel a bit bad, really, if I'd left.
You're obliged to.
Yeah, I know. It's out of duty. I mean, if I can go to Bognor Regis away, I can bloody get to Wembley.
Hereford have already signed in 8,000.
Yeah, Hereford,
so,
yeah.
8,000 tickets already sold, which is incredible.
Yeah, so there should be a decent atmosphere there. Yeah. I mean, total crowd should be at least over 20.
Anyone who hasn't really looked into it, it's four games on not at once, but
two games
with four teams.
Four teams, yeah.
Over the day. You got the FA Vars first, which Brigg Town has won once, if I remember rightly.
Have they?
I think so. And then our game follows it. So it's going to be brilliant. It's £25 a ticket, and if you can try and get a dodgy student card like Henry has, you can probably get in for a tenner.
Yes, I think
they
can.
And they don't check your ticket, so you're fine.
No. So it's all good.
Yeah.
So
go to Wembley. I haven't bought my tickets yet, though,
honest,
so I'm not...
To be honest, until you just mentioned it, I'd forgotten about it. And
what, then we were going to Wembley?
Yeah, because I'm so absorbed with just trying to get out of the league that it has genuinely taken a bit of a back
burner. It keeps dragging us back in the league. We thought it was over.
All right. Well, before we get to the debacle of Monday, I just want to... Let's keep
some
positive.
I'm talking about the positivity of Wrexham. Everything, yeah. The hills were alive with the sound of music. We were ready to go.
It was one of the best performances of the season, and definitely the best first half was the best half of football we played in 2016.
Because you were there, weren't you? I was down here.
Yeah.
Fucking my guts out.
The movement and the passing and just the general overall play in the first half of the Wrexham game was excellent. And it was even as just a spectacle of football, it's probably one of the best I've been to for a while. I think that's probably because we were playing the Gary Mills side.
Gary Mills always seems to have one over on Hurst. But a lot of people have put out, especially a lot of tactical knowledge, that Hurst probably got it right this time.
Yes.
Because I was one of the first to look at the team sheet and went, well, that's a bit lopsided. Yeah, and I think a lot of people were in agreement with Noland out on the wing.
Yeah, he finally got one over Gary Mills. But Noland wasn't really on the wing. It was sort of a three-man midfield. And Arnold was in a bit of a three role, sort of spending time between the central, just behind the two strikers, and sort of more out wide on the right. But against Wrexham, it worked really well, and it countered their system well enough that they had to change formation in the second half.
Seemed to work brilliantly.
Yeah, and second half we weren't as good. Wrexham came into it because they're a decent side.
But even then, we had a flurry. We had one off the line.
Yeah, he had one off the line, and Nolan had a one-on-one, which I thought, from my position in the lower Findus, was going in, but it sort of hit the side netting.
And then there was Macclesfield. So you went to that as well.
Oh, God, yes, I did. Sadly. 8:30 train out of Grimsby, slightly hungover.
A dry 8:30 train.
Yeah, dry.
I'll be honest, every 8:30 train should be a dry train.
Yeah, I was going to say, the last thing I wanted to do on that bloody train was drink. Awful. The complete opposite to Wrexham.
On a scale of 1 to Halifax, what was it like in terms... Especially, more interested in the atmosphere. I know what the performance was.
It wasn't as sour as Halifax, I don't think, anywhere near it.
Yeah.
The first half an hour was dreadful. Dreadful stuff.
It's just the same stuff, though. We play a small team, and we play the same football.
He put out the same lineup that he did for the Wrexham game, which was a specific counter to Wrexham, and it just didn't work. I mean, Macclesfield weren't as good a side, but they were more physical, and we just looked scared on the ball. I mean, no one looked like they could control the football for the first half an hour especially, and it was just bouncing everywhere. The forwards had zero service, and any time they did try and win a header or anything, they didn't get anywhere near the ball. And I think this is where the Bogle-Hooman debate sort of comes in a little bit. I thought Hooman had his best game for Town against Wrexham. Probably deserved a goal. He had a header clatter off the bar, and he sort of scrambled the rebound wide. And if anything, I would have probably thought he would be more suited to play Macclesfield game than he was the Wrexham game.
Credit where it's due, though. Early substitution from Clay. A lot of people keep asking for Clay to be in the team, wondering why he's been ostracised.
For me, he was one of the worst players on the pitch for that half an hour.
I'd hope so.
He did everything wrong, really. Couldn't control the ball, didn't put a good tackle in, and pretty much missed every pass that he tried, even the short passes. And I think it was partly a bad performance and partly the system just not working, and so he was the sacrifice. And second half especially, the first 20-25 minutes of the second half, we were the better side.
I know we're going back to Wembley, and I was just reading something as well you're talking, but you can get, apparently, if you buy over 12 tickets at once, you get it for £12.50.
So basically what you're saying is we need 12 friends.
Yes. Let's all go up together. We can all sit together. It's a new operation, tickets at cheaper prices.
So if you book
the name needs work.
So if you book in a group of 12, it's half price for Wembley.
Yes.
So, yeah, why don't we do that?
Just
us talking about our plans for Wembley, just ignore this for a moment.
But let's be honest, by the sounds of it, 12 people are going. So let's all just get together. Let's all share numbers. Let's get a WhatsApp group going, you know, and just...
We're all friends here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't have to pay that extra £12.50 can go on a pint, because apparently I paid £5 yesterday for a lukewarm bottle of piss.
Oh, Wembley. But we'll get on to that shortly. Yeah, so...
You're really worried about structure, aren't you? You can tell,
I've got
a PhD student in there somewhere.
I've got this Macclesfield game in my head. I want to get this off my chest because it was so frustrating. Yeah, I do. I agree with Hurst that we were probably the better side in the second half in general, but I think the first 30 minutes cost us the game, really.
I was listening into it, and I don't think I can buy into the fact of one of the lines he said was, I know that there was a mistake in terms of the goal was offside. Well, it looks offside from me. You were there, you say it was.
Yeah, it was. He was constantly offside.
The highlights don't necessarily show it because they don't show when the ball was played.
Because he wasn't in shot when far offside that he wasn't even in the bloody camera shot.
But I don't think it's. But, I don't think it's fair to say that. I don't think it's fair to say that that cost us the game.
No, I don't think so.
I think the fact that yet again we've played another shit team.
And we had chances.
Excuse my language.
And we did have chances as well. Shortly after we equalised, which was a good bit of play, Bogle, Armand and Nolan, who was easily the best player for us again.
Yeah.
I think that just highlights he's been an excellent signing.
Thanks for that, Lincoln.
Yeah, cheers, Lincoln. What was I going to say?
I don't know, I'm riveted.
Oh, no, it's just... For the second goal, he was offside, miles offside. But the more worrying thing for me was it was another Toto missed header. And I think it happens sort of far too frequently that Toto misses.
You can't overlook it, can you?
Muscle. And he totally misjudged the flight of the ball. It went over his head and it just went to Stich. And
Pearson usually, and Gowling.
Yeah, usually he's athletic enough to make up the ground and he did.
Not Stich.
And he got a foot in, but it just sort of fumbled the ball past Macca in the end, so he didn't quite recover well enough from it, partly because the guy was miles offside.
Toto's a good understudy, but I think it's been shown now, and it says something for Toto that it's taken a season to get to that point, but Pearson is most certainly the better player,
I think he should
be partnering Gowling.
I think we look much more assured at the back when Pearson's in, but I do think it was the right call to play Toto against Wrexham because their striker was absolutely rapid. He was probably the quickest striker we'll face this season.
Yeah.
I think in that case it was a good decision by Hurst, but I would have brought Pearson back in for the Macclesfield game, which was a much more physical affair.
Yeah, and this team as a whole, not just including Hurst, but everyone in it, needs to get over the idea that there's far too much complacency when they play the lesser teams. They are so... They don't get themselves up...
I wouldn't say it was complacency. I would, certainly. I don't think there was any doubt that they weren't putting a shift in. They were just... Everything went wrong.
But when you're looking at the results that we've got...
I don't think it was a lack of effort through consistency.
Macclesfield lost, Guiseley draw, Boreham Wood draw, Halifax, who were a lesser team as well, we'd lost to them. Then you're looking further up. Gateshead, fine. Guiseley, again, we dropped points at. And then you've even got games like after that, we drew with Solihull Moors, which is fine. We didn't have the same sort of team out. Cheltenham, and then the other ones that follow are obviously like Braintree.
And I don't... Yeah, well, Braintree are fourth.
Yeah, but I'm just saying they're the ones that follow, not that they're part of it.
But I don't think it's Altingham. I don't think it's a case of these players having the mentality that they're going to walk out
Lincoln
and smash these... Just smash them.
No, but I think there's a level of complacency in there.
I think it's purely a case of we're not good enough to break these teams down, and they The thing is with Wrexham was that they were a constant attacking threat.
I get the argument that they come to play, and so they're not so deep.
But no, there wasn't 10 men behind the ball. And I do think a lot of these cases is they come, put 9 or 10 men behind the ball, and we're not quick enough or wily enough to break those teams down.
Then there's something even more dramatically wrong then.
The times that we win is because we get an early goal and we open them up and we win comfortably. And it's always been a problem first. I don't think it's a case of work ethic or complacency or mental attitude. I don't think it's necessarily work ethic.
But there is an attitude that goes into that game that this will happen and it will come sooner rather than later. And that manner of urgency doesn't come until it's too late.
I wouldn't agree with that.
I do.
I don't agree with that. I just think we're not good enough to break the teams down. I don't think it's a case of lack of urgency. Well, then in that case,
that's the reason why we're still here.
I agree.
It's not the defeat to Cheltenham or the points dropped at Forest Green. It's these ones that are going to lose
it's
the promotion.
It's 2 points gained against Torquay. Like, 2 draws against Torquay is not how you win the league.
Exactly.
So I agree from that perspective, but I disagree with... That's fine.
We're allowed to, but you're
free
wrong.
Country,
yeah. Well, kind of. Even with that, we're still in this because Cheltenham and Forest Green. Yeah. Nobody wants to win this thing.
So we were sat on the train back, and we were sort of all admitting, like,
I have to ask about cabbage.
Yeah, I'll get onto that in a moment. But we all admitted it was over, and then Cheltenham go on and lose the late kickoff game, don't they?
So are we putting it down to, so if we get so the result of Cheltenham, fine.
Yeah, I mean,
we can dream for a little bit longer.
Yeah, we can dream until Tuesday.
And then we'll lose with Aldershot, because I'll be there.
Yeah, so one game at a time, see what happens. But
I think that's all you can do with this season, can you?
The Cavish thing came about because I think it was in the loos at half-time, and everyone was rather frustrated with how the half went. And I think myself and Gareth, we both overheard someone just went, "Oh, who's the fucking cabbage, this lad?" I think identifying his lack of tactical awareness, which is a bit unfair considering his tactics won us the game against Wrexham, but they didn't work against Macclesfield.
And so,
but that's where the name Cabbage came about, and I thought it was quite an amusing nickname, really.
Do we think Cheltenham are going to get themselves back together and get their act in order, or do you think this is a more turnable to kind? They can't take the pressure.
Well, I think they've been due a down spell.
I agree. Yeah. How long will it last?
My concern is that
we keep losing
to
lower teams.
Cheltenham.
Yeah, I agree.
Forest Green will go top.
Yeah,
and we won't catch Forest Green, and it'll be us and Cheltenham in the playoffs.
At Wembley.
Now that would be a nightmare. Oh. That would be the worst case scenario. because I'd fancy us against Forest Green.
Yeah.
I'd fancy us against Braintree. I'd fancy us against Dover. I'd fancy us against Eastleigh.
But then again,
I wouldn't fancy us against Tranmere, and I wouldn't fancy us against Cheltenham.
Is that a little bit of prejudice to think that they're the league clubs and as such you think about them at a higher level?
Yeah, absolutely is. Okay. I mean, just think of Bristol Rovers.
Yeah.
Like,
but I can think of Newport and Gateshead.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but we weren't as good during those games.
Yeah, I think I agree with Newport. We never showed up for that. Gateshead, a controversial refereeing decision from our favourite man in the world.
Yeah, but I mean,
and even then, but it was still nip and tuck.
We should have won the first leg for that one.
Yeah,
really.
And James McEwen screwed up.
We had a ton of chances after we equalised. I don't think we deserve to win that one. But
until we get any sort of definitive answer, I don't think you can call the season over or on or whatever. We just have to take each game as it comes.
Yeah,
I hate saying that.
Keep us shape, keep us tempo.
Just keep looking at one game at a time, Burnsy.
But no, so just.
What am I joking? Burnsy doesn't interview town players.
No, he was at the Bognor Regis game, though.
He was, though. Yeah, he was getting his ticket. He probably thought he had to validate his counter four before Wembley.
Yeah, yeah. Just make sure he gets the prime press seats.
So are you telling me that this whole buffet is free? Yes? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, fine. Good. Which one are Grimsby Town again? cheering on Hereford in the game beforehand. Did you know they want to parade a ball around the Wembley pitch?
I think that's brilliant.
Hey, by all means, we had a giant fish finger at the 2008 championship.
It can't make the pitch any worse either. So,
do you know what? It was quite nice last night. So I went to Wembley last night. England lost.
Nice segue into the England section. Well done, Alex.
Oh, I didn't even think you were going to announce it then. Smooth, that was perfect. Smooth. We sat on the same side we usually do when we lost. So what do you expect? That's quite nice.
You were in the East End.
I was in the East End. I thought
we're in the East End for a bloody trophy game as well, aren't we?
But okay, it's a quarter, so does it still count?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Okay, who cares? It's the trophy. As long as we get given the other side for the playoffs, yeah. I don't care.
Yeah. So England, Alex, talk us through your little day trip to the Netherlands game last night.
Yeah, it was fine. It's just I went to the Netherlands game. It was okay. I've never been to an England game at home before.
I've never been to an England game before.
I found it quite. It's always a problem. You think there's no sort of there's a national identity, but you don't know the songs, you don't know when other people are spread out. The band were there,
but the band were there.
They didn't do anything.
How many games did they play? Games? What am I on about? Songs?
Literally six or seven. That was it throughout the entire game. They get their tickets free, and they didn't do anything to culminate an atmosphere. And they did the whole Jamie Vardy one for about 3 or 4 seconds. But you consider what our drummers do and our lads do to make an atmosphere. Nothing in comparison to what those overpaid.
Yeah, but I've got no real investment in an England friendly against the Netherlands, though.
Yeah, but nobody does. But I tell you,
and that's why the atmosphere is shit.
We were talking about it earlier as well that before the game, you could there were loads of seats available about halfway through, and then a lot of Eastern European guys just turned up
because they
were buying them off touts for a fiver, and they just come and sit.
That's the way to do it, though, because every time you go to Wembley, there's touts at like 10 minutes before kickoff, just like buy or sell tickets, buy or sell, and it's like they must always have tickets left over. So that's the way to do it. Just turn up at 10 past and buy them for like a fifth of the cost.
Yeah, exactly. But it was all right. It was nice. It's a nice experience. I probably won't go again. It was a pain in the ass to get out of. We were waiting a good 2 hours on Wembley Way. The same thing. Same thing we have at Bristol Rovers. You know when they have those please wait and go signs.
Because it's the same at the NFL every year.
Yeah,
and especially when it's full, there's sort of like 80,000 getting out. But just took I've never waited 2 hours.
Yeah, it took us 2 hours to get to sort of like Waterloo.
Oh right,
but yeah. It took a good. We were on Wembley Way for a good 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, 45 minutes.
Exhausting.
Yeah. Because you think, oh, it's 9:45, you know, get home sort of fairly quickly, but it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, you're watching it on ITV going, God, they emptied that stadium quick because they're all stood outside.
Yeah. No, and that's why so many people leave early at Wembley, though.
Yeah, people were leaving on the 50th minute. I'll tell you what they did do yesterday, though, is the referee blew up at one point. He was pretty incompetent. The first referee I've ever seen that didn't wait for his linesman to come to him in the middle of the pitch. He just walked straight down the tunnel, didn't talk to anybody.
Didn't have it.
No, wasn't having any of it. But they blew the whistle. He blew a whistle for a free kick. Everybody, including Roy Hodgson, because I saw it on the highlights the next day, Kate went off to go to... that's my emails. Voucher card, I've got an offer with Debenhams, if anyone wants to know. Even Roy Hodgson was down the tunnel, and the announcer was going, and that's it, England have lost 2-1 against Netherlands, and they were still playing. Anyway.
So how did England play? Just give us a quick sum up of your thoughts.
We scored was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
That was one of the... It was worth the admission price alone.
What was the admission price out of interest?
I paid 25 quid.
Not bad.
And my dad paid a tenner. He's 65.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Exactly. And if I'd known they weren't checking tickets, I'd have paid a tenner too. But you can never take that again.
You do look 65.
Well, there is that. Could probably pass. But I thought we were... It's definitely showed up the team, the players that we probably shouldn't take. Milner, for example, took every set piece for no particular reason. He didn't show any attacking intent.
Hodgson loves Milner, though.
He does. He's a steady rock. And I can understand that, but... That team we had against Germany, that sort of one with Eric Dier, we missed Dele Alli. The second Dele Alli came on with about 5 minutes to go.
Yeah, I think he's going to be key to the Euros, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to it. So I'll be in France. I still haven't got any tickets. I put in for £3,000 worth and I got none.
Yeah, I think I put in for a few as well for us and didn't get anywhere with it. But I think when they allocated the games, the sort of England supporters club. I think it was £75 just to go in the ballot at one point, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't bothering that, so I'll just go to Bordeaux and I'll see what I can get. Maybe I'll just wait outside for a tout 20 minutes into the game.
Yeah. So Rooney, would you start him?
No, I won't start him, but I'd take him.
I'd take him, absolutely, yeah.
So if you assume the usual,
I think it's
got
to be Kane, Vardy and Dele Alli involved, hasn't it?
It's four strikers, isn't it, you take?
Four or five, I think, usually.
So Kane, Vardy. The love for Vardy.
Rooney.
For a racist footballer, he got a lot of love.
Yeah, well, it's because he's absolutely class at that. He's banging him in.
But I don't trust anyone who played for Fleetwood.
No, the same side as Roy Atkinson, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. He's quite overrated, I thought, as a player.
Atkinson?
Yeah.
Where's it Guisey now, doing nothing? So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he scored an overhead kick, or what was it?
That was a great overhead kick against Barnet, wasn't it?
Did you see Dean Ashton's one?
No.
In a Mark Noble testimonial. YouTube it when we get off here. It was a testimonial at Upton Park a couple of days ago. Beautiful bicycle kick. He didn't get up after 5 minutes after that, and he subbed himself off pretty immediately with a groin strain, but it was brilliant. He'll be going, that was worth it, that.
Bloody mute your laptop, you dope.
There you go.
So, yeah, Rooney on the bench for the Euros, but will Hodgson be brave enough and
I think so.
Bench him?
I think he's been making those noises. He'll play part in the squad.
I think the last two performances for England especially, I think it's made it very difficult for him to justify starting Rooney, hasn't it?
I don't think he necessarily wanted to start him for a while. I think Rooney's been overrated since 2004 for England especially.
Yeah.
He's not the same player he was then, and he now has the media backing and the fans backing to go with that sort of team. And it'll be exciting if it's that team. I'll be looking forward to it. And hopefully
it'd be a bit different, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I'll be looking forward to it as a league club, so you know. That'd be quite nice.
Fingers crossed. So, today was a GTFC reserves game, wasn't it?
No, that was yesterday.
Oh, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday, yeah.
I'm losing track of the day. But I think it was a very Grimsby Town moment, don't you? Talk us through what happened, Alex.
So, Grimsby Town went to play Hartlepool at a reserve game. And not unlikely, they don't always play their reserve games nowadays at the ground, because there's not a league structure anymore.
No, because I think we do technically play in the league, but there's no sort of set fixture dates for it. It's just play it when you can.
It is, I'll be honest, it's a WhatsApp group as well. I've mentioned it twice now, but there's a WhatsApp group. You've got Rotherham United in there, you've got Doncaster in there, and they're about anyone fancy kickabout, and they go.
Yeah,
yes.
which for a club with our sort of depth is about all we need, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It?
In the league, you usually tend to get it, but the same for smaller clubs nowadays, where they basically do it as a smaller sort of every now and then. And I assume they played it somewhere else that wasn't Victoria, the Victoria ground. So
no.
They went to the wrong ground.
Yeah, and it resulted in quite a viral tweet in the end from Hartlepool, didn't
was
it?
Was it really?
Yeah,
I just saw it on a Grimsby
Town. Last time I saw it, it was on sort of 600, 700 retweets.
Nice. Well,
and got onto like the Sport Bible, I think. So,
Do you know what? I've been involved in town in a tiny, tiny way, and from the small amount of work I did with them, it sets perfectly with them. But if you think any other club isn't the same, isn't a collapsing clown car, you're really mistaken. Because it is exactly the same in every other team.
This created the rebirth of the GTFC fails hashtag, didn't it?
I've got a Twitter feed of my own for them.
Yeah.
So I used to do some recordings. We had a tripod. So when we used to play the FA Cup youth games at Blundell Park, I didn't film it from the gantry. Shot that. I'd film it from the Lower Smiths.
Yeah. So how many games did you film for town for the youth team in the end?
About 10, 15. And then I moved down here.
So you didn't do it from the gantry, you did it from sort of like the bottom of the upper finders.
Yeah. And so when you used to extend the tripod, unfortunately it was fully extended. All you could see was the red bar, the safety bar. So you couldn't do anything else. Which is fine the second time, because you go, okay, I'll take a couple of books or something like that and like prop them underneath, or bring my own, which I ended up doing. But that first time, you go, right, what am I going to do now?
Yeah. Yeah, so what did you do? Just prop books underneath? You didn't, go a row up or something?
Almost, I had to, bend it onto the bottom leg of the bar so that it was almost wonky. So you'd see it was almost like it was rising and falling on the pitch, which is fine, because Nutter Park is so...
I was going to say, the pitch does that anyway,
it's not the flattest of things in the world, so it looked perfectly normal.
The 2056 to London Waterloo just went past, by the way.
And then there was the... there was a time when we went to the City Ground and we had to, I had to stop off at, because I lived in Nottingham at the time, I had to stop off at the City Ground club shop, walk in, and basically went in town gear going, excuse me, where are the youth team playing today?
Where are we playing? Where's the game, mate?
And then jumping back on the minibus going, we're going this way.
Past Trent
See
Bridge.
You later, lads.
We're not playing at Trent Bridge.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah, I got locked in the upper Findus once, so I was filming and then some steward came along and locked it. My friend who worked at the club, who I worked with, I was trying to communicate with him. Obviously, he was doing the after game sort of team talk and whatever.
Yeah.
So it was like, brilliant, I can't contact anyone. There's me waving furiously, going, I'm stuck in Findus.
You're here forever, Alex. You're here forever.
I know, and there was no other way of getting out. It's properly locked. I could have broken into the boardroom. I could have stolen that Grimsby Town train plate.
Stolen the Ibiza Cup.
Yes. Which I assume is just a, basically a, I'm trying to think of something witty right now, a Ministry of Sound chill out album.
Yeah.
In gold leafed. And
that's
it.
That's it.
That's a good one. I thought that was rather witty. Yeah.
But like you said, we're not the only club to sort of have these sort of social media gaffes anyway.
That was brilliant.
Most recently, probably Sleaford.
Lincolnshire doing themselves proud recently.
Yeah.
So anyone who hasn't seen it, Sleaford, like every club, they do Twitter updates throughout the game. And
there wasn't one for 20 minutes, yeah, was there?
No, it just stopped. And he came back and apologised. I'm really sorry there was no update.
Sorry there is no update.
I got subbed on.
The other subs were someone else. Yeah.
That's brilliant. And I do love that with non-league.
Yeah, I know. It's quality, isn't it?
Can you think of any other fails that you had?
From the club? Not really.
Deconstructing a flag. We had once when we were going to Barnsley away, they put up a photo of Charlton on the website.
I don't remember that.
That was a good one. That wasn't that far long ago. There was the time when we, after the Barnet game, we won and we were going to play Burton in the game and tickets were a real must. Everyone ran out early to try and get tickets for the game. They'd locked up the ticket office. Steve Wraith came out. Everyone's going, what the hell's going on? Everything's locked up. He's telling the fans to shut up and everything because he'd locked everybody in the ticket office. So everyone was piling in with no way of getting out. Just open the shutter.
Open the bloody door, yeah.
That was a pretty stupid one.
We won't mention the Burton game on this podcast, though.
Oh, I don't mind mentioning it. I think it's cathartic to mention it.
No.
It is.
Well, it's probably more so than the playoff final last year.
Yeah, I think that
I'm
hurt
still
more.
Sour about that.
I tell you one game
because I think we deserve to go down. So
I think there's one game we don't mention a lot of, which is MK Dons. That game has almost been erased from history.
Yeah, yeah. Danny Boshall.
Sorry, I apologise. I don't know why I said MK Dons. Franchise FC.
Franchise scum.
Yeah, exactly. But we've all but forgotten that game.
I made a £10 bet with a franchise scum fan that I met at university.
What, that you wouldn't kill
him? In my first year in 2010, I said AFC Wimbledon would be above them in 5 years. Sadly, they got close.
They did. They did.
But sadly, Winkleman's money was just too much for it. So I paid him the £10 in 1 and 2p's.
And if you're going to go on Grimsby Town Fails, everything John Fenty has ever released as a statement, every one of his stupid photos, pointing at the camera, doing the arms up in the air.
What about the orange?
The orange.
Pointing at a horse.
And there's one of him on a pole in Moulin Rouge in Cleethorpes, I think.
I've not seen that one.
Yeah, that one kicks around.
But I think my favourite GTSE photo is probably, well, not favourite.
Most amusing.
Most amusing and probably the biggest GTFC fail was the Peter Till, Ron Atkinson photo that made the rounds in 2008.
Oh, is that the one with them all tanned up and in little skimpy boxes?
Yeah, in Ibiza or something.
Yeah, I'm
just
not surprised
looking like
you
the
had
absolute
that.
Looking like the most absolute tossers.
And there was, and not to mention deconstructing flags from children. There was Thermos Gate.
Didn't they switch the
Chezzy burgers?
Chezzy burgers. That's a personal favourite. That is a personal favourite.
I had a Grimsby flag, which is not related to club, because
we were discussing the Chezzy burger at the Bognor game,
right?
And I didn't understand why it was Chezzy burgers, but apparently it was because they ran out of E's, and so they just put another S in it. Like, I thought it was just like someone genuinely couldn't spell, but they were aware of the mistake while they were making it.
But that's acceptable, is it?
I don't know if that's better outlet. Or worse. Like, I don't know if I prefer them unable to spell the word cheese or just so lazy that they didn't order another
E. Why didn't
E?
They just put a C, apostrophe, burger?
See, yeah.
And then you could think it was chicken burger. But yeah. Anyway, cheeseburger. That'd work.
Yeah, or even just... Yeah.
Because we don't sell chicken burgers.
The Chezzy burger is a classic, isn't it?
Yeah, and there was a Grimsby flag I had for the Cheltenham playoff game, which had Grimbazy. So it was G-R... on the badge, G-R-I-M-B-S-B-Y. It's up in my house in Kilby, so when I get that, when I go up, I'll take a photo of it and put it on the Twitter account, but it's quite a funny one.
I don't know if this class doesn't fail, but I think the season we went down... I think they...
That's just fail.
Yeah, well, that's beyond the GTFC fail, which is just a lovable fuck-up. But I think I'm right in saying the season they went down, a few games into the season, Mike Newell had them sack the bus driver because he was bad luck.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm sure that they broke down on the way back from the Cheltenham game on the opening day of the season when we lost 2-1. And I think that was the start of the end for that bus driver. And I think not too long after that, like, they asked for a different bus driver from Anvale.
Speaking of bus drivers, we were going down to the Arsenal game, and we stopped off at this this service station, and I was having a piss next to the bus driver. And he turns around to me and goes, "I don't know where I am. I was meant to meet all the other buses here." "What do you want me to do about it? It's before sat navs. I've only got a Nokia 3310. Do you want to play Snake?"
Snake 2.
But yeah, there's too many of them to mention. But it's nice to watch that. It's nice to look at that hashtag because it goes all the way back to 2010.
Yeah, I know. And there's not too many tweets on it, fortunately. But just onto the taunt of or abuse that was the cabbage shout,
right? Okay.
At Macclesfield, and there was. A friend of mine made his first home game in a while at the Wrexham game,
yeah.
And he was sat in the lower fenders for the first time in years.
Okay,
and he just said to me, like, how many just random abusive shouts there are from the lower fenders. And I think there was a female linesman who, to be fair, was probably one of the best linesmen we've had.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Well, she probably was the best linesman we've had at Bundle Park. Good. She gave us every decision, like literally everything. And it's like a ball that had obviously not gone out, and she just flagged for a town throw and just like straight away.
You
gotta
like that, lass.
Like, you couldn't ask anything more from like a biased official. And apparently you just heard like, "Oh, you're fucking useless, lineswoman," or some just random abusive shout. But there are some occasionally funny shouts from the Finless, aren't there?
I don't mind anywhere. I'd love to hear where.
Yeah, just we're quite interested to hear sort of what is the funniest sort of shout you've heard at a Grimsby game.
I'm really still waiting to play anyone whose name is Daryl so I can do the Simpsons chant of Daryl.
Well, we started it at the trophy game at Wembley.
We did.
And I remember this because there was this poor old woman in front of us who was obviously not a regular. And I think you got like Sleeping Beauty and like Cinderella mixed up or something in one of your shouts. And she turned around and she was like, "I think that's Sleeping Beauty actually," or something like that to you.
Well, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'm quite happy to admit it. That's absolutely fine. But we'd always do the bawdy chant. There was that kid once that was, he was about 11 and he was annoyed. I don't know why. He'd obviously not had the same sort of harsh upbringing with town as we have
the
had.
The real gritty upbringing. Yeah. The proper upbringing.
He kicked the hell out of that the sponsor boards. And do you remember shouting, going, "You show him who's boss, lad.
You show him
who's boss. don't let him show you weak."
And there was a poor young steward at Bognor Regis away recently.
Oh, Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
I felt sorry for that kid.
Yeah, I felt a bit bad for him, but it was quite funny because he, well, for the at the start, I thought he was really enjoying it because he just kept walking back and forth in front of the town
for
fans.
For no particular reason.
For no real reason.
He wasn't in front of the town fans. He was in the town
fans.
Yeah,
he was on occasion, but occasionally he just like walked behind the goal just in front of the town fans.
But then there was also the Bromley keeper got a load of abuse. That was quite amusing this year.
Yeah, who was the keeper a few years ago? He used to come every season and love the abuse.
Oh, there's quite a few of them.
Give it back. He was a real charismatic keeper. I can't remember who it was.
I'm not sure.
No, someone needs to remind me of
that. Apparently he wasn't that memorable.
No, it wasn't for a particularly good team, but I do remember this keeper stood out every year and always used to give the pony a load of crap.
But I like that.
Yeah, and I think just one more memorable one was probably this season. There was those groundhoppers from Swansea, wasn't there?
Right.
And I think in their blog post, which was a really good read if you can find it again, I think it was the 200 different ground they'd been to. And they were sat in the pontoon. I can't even remember who we were playing. It might have been Tranmere. It was one we lost 1-0, so I don't think it was Tranmere.
Right.
And I think one of the sentences that stood out in the blog post was just like, I've never seen a keeper receive so much abuse at a football game. So yeah, let us know your best ones and we'll share some of them because there are some memorable ones that I'm sure that neither of us have heard before either.
So for all of us exiles who no longer get to appreciate DN35 or, you know, walk down Cleethorpes Road as often as they'd want to, park in Ramsden's, have a quick jaunt.
Dugard Road we park on.
Dugard Road, that's not a bad one. Where did we used to park? We used to park opposite Vic's Soft, which is a weird fox thing just outside Ramsden's.
Right.
It was the first real car park things on Grimsby Road. We used to always park there.
Yeah, walk to the park. That's what
we don't get
do.
To do that anymore. I get to listen to Radio Humberside and bemoan the lack of Grimsby Town interest.
Yeah, apart from when they give us like 4 hours of coverage.
I can still moan.
Yeah, absolutely. But
I think I'll be honest though, I think it'd probably be a bit self-grandising if I do a podcast and then I also ring up to BBC Radio Humberside.
It would be a bit. I think I like the sound of my own voice, wouldn't it? But no, so there are obviously a lot of Mariners exiles around the country, aren't there? I mean, there's quite a few of us in the southeast. Not that we know.
Seems
everyone.
To be a greater number than most fans.
Yeah, and I think this always helps our away following that we always have a small core of town fans pretty much anywhere we play. And sort of social media is a really good thing nowadays, sort of helping fans connect with each other. It's really good on Twitter, which is sort of a more open social media space with the GTSE hashtag or whatever, promoting discussion. Alex just yawned then it came through.
I'm very sorry.
I'm that boring.
I didn't get back till 1 from Wembley yesterday and my child got me up at 5.
Chin up. But no, so
and I am looking at Phil Brown.
I think a good way to sort of connect with people probably in a quieter space and discuss maybe car sharing or just anything to do with town and being an exiled Mariner. So there's this Facebook group called Exile Mariners, brackets Southwest Branch. But I don't think it's any more limited to the Southwest, probably mainly the South. Just as a forum and a place to discuss sort of getting to games or whatever, or anything to do with supporting town and living down South, really.
I like the idea of it. We live in London, and it's very relatively known that there's a lot of town fans in London.
Yeah, and
it doesn't feel like we have a group that we can go to.
I think there are probably a number of private Facebook groups for these sorts of things, but I think this one is sort of growing a little bit, and is probably a good place for anyone sort of in the Midlands or the South to join up and sort of discuss anything town or sort out lists or anything. And it's run by a chap called Mark Worrell. So if you want to join, just give him or me or Alex a shout and we'll add you to the group.
I'm not an admin, am I?
No, but I think I don't think you need to be an admin to add people to the group. Fine.
No, it's a great idea, and I think it's something that we should get involved in. I love
it's
the idea.
It's a bit like you had the idea last season to get a flag sorted out or something, because we've always wanted a flag.
I want a flag.
Yeah, we need to.
Flags are expensive.
Yeah, they are.
I didn't know they were expensive. No
so
wonder they go to battle.
And buy a flag.
That's all something I want. Like that. I want a flag. But then we also came up to the dilemma where we did with the fish, like. The Harry Haddock, do you really want to hold it all game? I don't really want to hold a flag all game either.
No, well...
So we need to buy some hooks.
Yeah.
But let's get a flag.
Yeah.
And okay. We need more flags.
And join that XR group.
Mostly join the group.
XL.
Then we can buy a flag.
Yeah, because sometimes, sometimes the train, like, even if it's trying to sort out a lift to a game or something.
Well, it's like an older shot. I've technically got no one to go to.
No, exactly. So,
and I will be... let's be honest, people who go to town games on their own... are sometimes a little bit weird.
A little bit off.
And
I am one of those people that I've been to many town games on the road, and I can assure you I am very weird.
Exactly, and I can understand that, but I'm an approachable guy. So, you know, I would like a Grimsby friend that isn't just ginger, because it feels like I'm stood in the middle of our central midfield at the moment.
Powerhouse.
But yeah, give it a follow, get on with it, and then we'll go on to our next bit.
Speaking of South West... and Grimsby Town.
You're going to rant about Southwest Trains, because I can do that.
No, I was going to rant about the Cheltenham game on Friday.
Fine, okay.
What are your thoughts? Are we still alive? Is it going to happen? Are we going to beat them? Et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, we'll beat them because they're a better team, and it will keep the whole will we, won't we go in for another week?
I think we will win purely for that reason, just to drag it out as long as
possible. It's not because we're going to do well. It's because it grows our hope even more, and then they'll be vanished and we'll be upset even more further down the line.
It's the most crushing way. Therefore, it is the Grimsby way.
So, yes, we'll win. It'll keep it going. Obviously, if we don't win, I think that's it. We can stop banging on about the playoffs.
Final.
It's playoffs. That's it. Automatic promotion isn't there. But then, yeah, fine. We'll win and we'll move on from that. And it's Friday, which is a pain in the ass, but at least I can watch on telly.
Yeah, I mean, well, even from the southeast and on the West Coast Main Line or the Great Western Main Line, whatever you want to call it, it's pretty much impossible to do on a Friday night from Cheltenham.
Absolutely.
Because the last train towards London is 10 o'clock and it takes 40 minutes just to get to the station in Cheltenham.
Yeah.
So we can't actually do it in a day.
I can understand why they did it, but I thought this game was... I don't know when Easter is. I thought this one was on, like, Good Friday or something, and I thought, OK, that makes sense, let's do it in the middle of the day and so on and so forth, but obviously I was wrong. But there you go, another game in which we can't take it to a pretty big rival because it goes on telly, and how good will it be to get back into the league and no one will care about us anymore? Because
we'll never be on TV.
We won't be on television.
We'll be on Channel 5 at like 11:40.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be on
for
just
20
before,
seconds.
Just before that gambling programme that comes on.
Gambling programme is always hilarious when you're pissed.
And then we'll be no longer on front pages of non-league dailies or anything like that. We'll have FIFA, but we'll be half a star and we can go back to normality. That's what I'm looking forward to. I just want to be normal again, Henry. Just want to be normal.
You've never been normal, Alex. So I think it's almost time for the profile of the episode.
And you've taken it over again.
I've nicked it again.
Because apparently fictional characters is not what you want.
Well, no, it's just I had a spare hour on a train with free Wi-Fi, so I was like, well, I don't want to do any
work. That was certainly not a Southwest train then.
No, it was East Coast.
Fine.
Who were very good.
Yeah, well, we're not. Do you know what? It's taken them 2 months to change the clocks on there from 0000 to a time, and they still haven't done it. Sort it out.
Anyway, away from the train segment.
Because I'm assuming someone from Southwest Train listened to it.
Obviously. I mean, why wouldn't they? But yeah, I had a spare hour on my journey back to the South on Tuesday, actually. And I think we do actually need to sort a list out of who we want to profile.
We talked about it before. I would love people to get in contact. If you've got a favourite player...
If you've got a particular person that you want to do, rather than us just sort of aimlessly doing sort of famous names...
We tend to get to about 2 o'clock on a Tuesday and one of us is texting, who are you doing for profile?
Yeah.
I don't know yet. But we've done some pretty impressive players, and we want to continue that, and we want to make it more personal to you as well. So yeah, if you've got anyone you want, we'll put in some legwork, we'll find out some information, and if it's just so you can listen to how good Alan Poulton was, that's coming. Then, fine.
And I'd like to do Frank Womack at some point. I think he's a name that needs
to be. Was he your favourite player, was he?
Well, manager.
Yeah, back in the 30s.
In the 50s. Well, I think sort of coming...
I knew he was the manager, well, by today, the way. I was taking the mick out of you.
Yeah, so today's profile, we're going to do George Tweedy and sort of having a look through all of that stuff. I think Frank
Womack... We're going to run out of that team soon.
Frank Womack was an important name sort of that drifts around the era. So I think he will be done at some point. But
I'm going to ruin it. There's this idea now in my head that Steve Livingston pitches on every week just to listen to this. Fast forwards through, he goes... Oh, just turns
one
off.
Day, Steve. One day. Livo was a hero there.
Yeah.
But no, so George Tweedy this week, and Cod Almighty a few years ago did a piece on sort of famous goalkeepers from the time and mentioned Tweedy a bit.
Plagiarising.
I didn't actually plagiarise them. I plagiarised other sources, I'll have you know.
Wikipedia.
And I think his family last came to a town game a couple of years ago as well. So it has been mentioned in the near past anyway. But George Tweedy, probably one of the top goalkeepers to ever play for Town. I think that's pretty unanimous.
I think it's widely regarded, the people that have watched him, that he was the best keeper we had.
Yeah, and I mean, we could never make a judgment, but some of the accomplishments that we'll talk through in a minute sort of pretty much cement his place in that role anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was born in County Durham in 1913 and joined the club from a small club in the northeast whose name I forget in 1932. Sort of just before the glory years, basically.
So he was 19 when he joined the club, yeah. My basic maths going.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Fine, cool.
Yeah. So he joined shortly after we were relegated out of the First Division.
This was at the first time, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it must have been, yeah. And in his second season, we won promotion back into the First Division, from the Second Division, obviously. And that was his only divisional win as a member of the Mariners, but a pretty good one to win the Second Division, basically the Championship these days. He debuted against Bradford, when he replaced Reed, who was the normal keeper at the time.
Was this in our cup final?
It was against Bradford, so it was obviously in a cup final.
In our cup final. Thank you for Bradford for entertaining us on that cup final.
Yeah, so Reed broke his finger against Bradford, and Tweedy replaced him, and that was his first game. And he finally broke into the first team as a regular in 1934. And the following six seasons of those... we're all in the top flight, which I think is an incredible achievement in itself for Grimsby Town Football Club, because could you imagine 6 years in the Premiership now, basically?
I'm watching Bournemouth, so yes. But no, I agree. I'm being a dick.
Yeah. No difference there then. And in that spell was the famous fifth place finish, which is the highest we've ever finished in the league.
Europa League spot.
And the two FA Cup semi-finals.
Playing Matalan on Thursday night on Channel 5.
Yeah. So he missed the second FA Cup semi-final because he was injured. And then famously his replacement, who was in goal, was then injured. And so we ended up with some randomer in goal and got
injury
dicked.
Seems to be a thing with his career, don't they?
Yeah, they did pop up. There were injuries throughout, but it was such a long career that it's a bit unsurprising.
Yeah,
in a way.
No, and there was not much protection for goalkeepers then. There was no gloves, obviously, and the balls were a lot harder. Ground wasn't as nice.
Yeah.
To land on.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my expert opinion.
And so his career, especially over those six seasons before the war in the top flight, earned himself an England cap whilst playing for Town. And that came in 1936.
So I got it wrong.
You got it wrong.
Fine, okay.
There are three players who played for Grimsby and got England caps, but you said only one were at the club at the time, but that's, I think, all three of them were at the club at the time.
Yeah.
And so his cap came in 1936 against Hungary, and that was at Highbury. In front of about 30,000 people, and they won 6-2. And I told myself to look in more into that game, but I didn't get a chance, sadly.
Yeah.
But now, so he won an England cap.
There isn't much to get about this. This is the Hungary game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was.
Hungary were a decent team at the side as well, I think.
They hadn't got to that point where they were like Lev Yashin and that sort of like ilk, but they were certainly becoming a major powerhouse. At least they certainly were more than they are now. It was at Highbury, which is quite a nice place to play it at.
Yeah, well, Highbury pops up again in his career, and we'll come on to that in a moment. Yeah. But it's said that he would have won more caps for England because of his form if he was playing in a different era, basically. But goalkeepers called Woodley and Hibbs were the England regulars, I think. Woodley won 40 caps and Hibbs won 19 or something like that. And so he didn't really get a chance. And I think he was taken in a squad but never got a cap to a World Cup. But I'm not sure on that.
Can I just ask as well with that? I mean, you might not have the information, but Woodley and Hibbs, do you know what teams they used to play for?
I think one of them was Arsenal.
Because that seems to be a history, especially in the early years of the England team, that southern-based teams, maybe just because they were easier to get together, tended to take precedence over teams from the north.
Yeah, I think there probably is something to that.
And it's the same as now. Would you prefer to take a guy who plays for Leicester?
Yeah, so
and then
so,
Man United and Arsenal, which is the problem. Up.
So Woodley had the 19 caps and he played for Chelsea.
Yeah.
And Hibbs won 25 caps, so he won slightly more, and he played for Birmingham. So again, a central southern-based team. But yeah, I do think there are probably legs in that.
Unlike me.
And so then war broke out, and the Football League was postponed. But that didn't mean the total end of football during the time. So for morale and just general other purposes, they kept sort of regional small leagues going throughout the war, which allowed players to keep playing when they were stationed nearby.
Yeah.
And so Tweedy still managed to play for Town on occasion throughout the start of the war for a few years in just friendlies and local league games. But then when he was sent away or sent elsewhere in the country, he was replaced by Moulson, who was the guy who replaced him in the FA Cup game for Town.
I think it's a street name I used to live on.
And he was the town keeper for the rest of the war, basically, until Tweedy came back from the war. I said I'd come on to Arsenal again when we were talking about Highbury a minute ago, and that's because during the war, when players were stationed elsewhere, there was a thing called the guest system, which allowed players of certain teams to guest for other teams that were nearby so they could keep playing football. And so when Tweedy was in Edinburgh, he managed to play 7 games for Hibs. So I think he won most of them, actually, looking at the records.
Was Rob Jones just in front of him in central defence? Yeah,
forever. And then he also played a few games for Arsenal as well under the guest system.
Okay,
cool. So he was technically a town player and he never played a league game for Hibs and Arsenal, but he did play.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah, so it would be interesting to see who else guested around, really. Because they don't appear as sort of Football League stats.
No.
So they're quite hard to find, but it'd be interesting. I bet there's a few famous players at the time that played for really random teams throughout the war.
Hamilton Academical.
Yeah, something like that. So then the return of the Football League after the war came, and Tweedy was one of the ones who managed to return. And Town had 2 more years in Division 1 after the war before relegation, and we never returned to the First Division again after that.
Yet.
Still to come. give Hurst 20 years, he'll do it.
Keep us shape.
So then he became a Division 2 keeper, basically. But after the relegation, he practically retired and he became the assistant manager to Charlie Spencer, who was the manager at the time.
Okay.
In 1950. And then Charlie Spencer became ill at the end of the 50-51 season.
Yeah.
And he took over as manager in July of that year.
Right.
Until January. At which point, Frank Womack, who was, I think, the manager in the 30s, came back to manage for 5 months from January, and then Tweedy was his assistant again. So basically what I'm trying to say is Tweedy is one of the 14 players to play and manage the football club.
Very nice.
Yeah. So just motoring on through that. He actually did a Steve Crownson after the... So
dislocated his shoulder?
No, so that season that season when he was manager and then assistant manager to Frank Womack, they got relegated into the third division.
Right.
And that was the that marked the arrival of Bill Shankly, who convinced him to come out of retirement. And Tweedy played 32 more games after retirement for Town.
Yeah.
So he'd already been manager, and then he played 32 more games for the club.
Oh, wow, that's pretty impressive then.
And then he finally retired age 42 in 1953.
He's probably got a good chance of being our oldest ever player, hasn't he?
At 42, I don't think there'd been many more that played for him, for Town, than 42, surely.
No?
No. And so we were in the first division, first season under Shankly when Tweedy returned as keeper. We finished runners-up, and then in his last season we finished fifth in the third division. And then a couple of years later, after Shankly had left, we won the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he passed away in 87, age 74, finished with 347 Town appearances, an England cap, a second division win, and a runner-up place in the third division.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
That's not bad going. Oh, and two FA Cup semi-finals.
Wow.
Which pretty much certifies his place as one of the best ever Town keepers.
He got injured in that as well, didn't he?
The FA Cup?
Yeah.
I did mention it. I think he was injured before the game.
Okay.
And then
his replacement, Molson was in goal, and then he got injured as well.
And so Colin Mighty have got a lot of they've got a series called In the Shadow of Tweedy, talking about all the other goalkeepers of the era, and a lot of information on Tweedy as well. There's other sources, Wikipedia and all that. And actually, Hibernian were quite good on some of the Second World War stuff. There was a lot of Hibernian websites.
Okay.
For all the guest stuff and that sort of thing. I didn't find a lot from Arsenal.
No, okay.
But the last thing to mention from Tweedy was his family returned one of his jerseys to
That's
the club
nice.
In 2013. That was part of the Mariners Memory Match, which I remember going to.
Okay. I don't think I did, actually.
Yeah, to highlight sort of dementia and that sort of thing, which was a really good night, actually. And so the club have one of his match-worn shirts somewhere hanging
around.
That's
brilliant.
So, yeah, that is George Tweedy. And what a great guy.
Wow, we're getting a nice little club going on here now.
Yeah, no, I'd take him in, y'all.
I've got this is a T-shirt ready to be made, this.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's brilliant. Thank you very much.
So, we've waffled on quite a bit today, Alex.
I think so, yeah. Which is okay, because it sounds half better than it usually does. It doesn't sound like it was recorded in a toilet. But that's the end of the pod. So we'll be back in.
Yeah, I've got a really busy April, but I'm sure we'll squeeze a couple more in before the season finishes.
Yeah, I'm in Rome for a bit of it. I'll report back. I might try to do it over the phone or something.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But we will get a few more out before the end of the season the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they might be a bit more random. We've tried to keep them every 2 weeks at the moment. But it might be a little bit more sporadic from today on until the end.
Yeah, so just check iTunes and Twitter. Really.
But we're quite happy to continue them on through to the summer as well, so we're doing three Euro 2016
and stuff. I'm trawling through quite a lot of information on...
Yeah, you're very proud of this, aren't you?
Yeah, we're gonna do a stadium special in the close season at some point and sort of discuss how to get a stadium built. But we'll figure that one out when we get there. There's a lot of football to be played yet.
That's fine, brilliant. We've got, so the game's coming up. We have Cheltenham on Friday.
Aldershot on the next Tuesday.
Aldershot on Tuesday. I might even try and put a quick snippet out, a report of it.
Then it's Eastleigh at home after that, is it?
Then we've got Eastleigh.
I'll be at that game.
Hang on, I did have it 30 seconds ago, but somehow I've dropped it.
And then I would have thought it'd be Woking after that.
Yes.
And then...
Woking's on the 19th. Tuesday. Of April, because
Which
I fly
Tuesday,
out that day.
And then it'd be Dover after that.
Cheltenham, Aldershot, Eastleigh, Braintree, Dover, Woking,
Braintree's in there. Forgot
Chester and Tranmere, which is quite a daunting fixture list.
Yeah, I know. I think we before the Wrexham game, we had to play like six of the top eight in our remaining 10 games or something.
Which tends to bode well for us. So maybe we shouldn't go into it as nervously as we have done.
Hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. We hope you enjoyed it. We will see you all in hopefully in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, we want to get your submissions in for
the best abuse or shout.
Yeah. We want to hear from you
people
about
people you want to profile.
And anything else that catches your fancy as well. By all means, give us a tweet and we'll try and keep in contact with every single one of you. Have a lovely day. Have a lovely week. Hopefully next time we talk to you, we will be well on our way to being champions after Cheltenham and Forest Green have all but imploded.
Even worst case, storming to the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll be deciding what side of the right side of Wembley Stadium we're going to be sitting on.
Exactly.
Fine. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. Bye.